Okay, good morning. Very warm welcome to the communion slot this morning. We carry on walking through some of the letters at the start of the book of Revelation. I'll be preaching on one in a few moments' time, but before that, why don't we pray together? So, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day that you have made, for this opportunity to gather as your family, to come to worship you, the living God. And we pray, Lord, that as we read your word and proclaim the gospel through communion together, that you might strengthen us in the faith, that you might help us to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 11 this morning. And it says this, "To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you were rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you your victor's crown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Amen." If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So said Jesus to his disciples at the Last Supper. Or everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Or do not be surprised by the fiery trial that has come upon you, as though something strange were happening. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. What all these verses show us is that following Jesus involves suffering and persecution in some way. And many of us in this room might know that through experience ourselves. We also see it going on in the world around us when we look at countries like China. But in our so-called post-Christian West, where, if we're being honest, Christianity in some form or another has had a pretty privileged position for the last few centuries, perhaps we see the tide turning. And there can be a very real sense of surprise amongst us as Christians, can't there, that all of a sudden we find ourselves on the back foot. Now, the reality is that we're still way better off than tons and tons of fellow believers around the world. But still, persecution, in whatever form it can take, no matter how mild, actually still can be a huge discouragement to Christians. And in our weakest moments, perhaps we find ourselves thinking and asking this question, is following Jesus really worth it? Wouldn't life just be a little bit easier if I compromised on just one or two things? You know, maybe we're not thinking here of a full kind of retraction of the faith, that's it, I'm walking away from Jesus for good. Perhaps it's the more subtle, perhaps I shouldn't talk about that doctrine. Or maybe Scripture isn't actually as clear as I've been told it is about the atonement or about human sexuality, etc., etc. There's tons of issues that you could put into that box. Now, if we've been tempted like this, know that we are not alone. The book of Revelation, I think, was written for exactly this kind of issue to a bunch of Christians in the first century facing intense persecution for their faith. And it's written to move them from being those who are thinking of compromising to being totally committed. Because the message of the book of Revelation is that through suffering, still Jesus wins, still Jesus is victorious. And so stick with Jesus, be faithful to Jesus, because it will be worth it in the end. And so the second of our seven letters at the start of the book, this one to Smyrna that we're thinking about today, I think actually really teaches us that message in just a few short verses as well. And interestingly, this is a letter that has no rebuke. There's no telling off like the other ones, but this is an encouragement. Keep going. Be faithful, Jesus says. And his first encouragement for us is this. He says, I know your afflictions and your poverty. I know about the slander as well. And it strikes me that there's two ways that Jesus knows about our afflictions. The first, he knows because he is sovereign. He knows everything that has happened, everything that is happening, and even we see in verse 10, all that is going to happen too. You see, persecution of Christians is no surprise to Jesus. It's no surprise to God. He's not flummoxed by it. It is not a disruption of God's great plan for salvation. It is what he knows and what we should expect. I know what you are facing, Jesus says. Secondly, he knows as well because he has been through it himself. Note from that first verse, verse 8, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came back to life. You see, Jesus knows exactly what it is like to suffer for faithfulness' sake, because Jesus himself suffered and died for faithfulness' sake. And so in Hebrews 4, verse 15, we read these words, that we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, here we have a Savior who knows, who sympathizes, and so calls us to draw near to that throne of grace in prayer to find strength and grace and mercy from the Lord. In fact, this whole model of Jesus has done this already. His life and his death actually is the main encouragement presented to these persecuted Christians in the book. You see, not only can Jesus sympathize with our sufferings because he's been through it all before, but he also ends our sufferings because he has been through it all before. He calls the suffering church at the end of verse 10 to be faithful even to the point of death in order to receive the victor's crown. Death followed by life, the mirror image of Christ. He who was faithful to the point of death and then has been made alive again. And so Jesus says, follow my pattern, faithfulness now, suffering now, perhaps death now, but glory and life everlasting later. I rose again, so will you, he says. So you want to know if it's worth it to stay faithful to me now, Jesus asks. And you bet it is. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the victor's crown, the crown of life, everlasting life, a place in the kingdom, the place that I went before you to prepare, he says. Now here's the thing, we're not actually even facing death in the West, are we? Not for persecution. Harsh words, perhaps. Mockery from others, perhaps, for our faith. But violence for our faith? Murder for our faith? Not really over here. You see, Jesus' call for faithfulness even to death must really put our persecution and our fears into perspective. And I think it shows us just how fickle our faithfulness can sometimes be to the Lord. So Jesus ends, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Verse 11. Listen to his message. Those who conquer will not be hurt by the second death when Christ returns, but will be given this crown of life through Jesus when he comes again. So as we gather for communion this morning, well, we proclaim that death that brings us life. And we proclaim that death until he comes, and we keep on praying for strength to stay faithful as we wait. Amen. we're going to sing a hymn that is a prayer for that strength. God is our strength and refuge, our ever-present help in times of trouble.